The service of holy baptism continues on page 299 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 299 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
There is one body and one spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in to speak to the Lord, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded. The Israelites would see the face of Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Psalm 99 can be found on the insert of your bulletin. Psalm 99. The Lord is king. Let the people tremble. The Lord is great in Zion. Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord, our God, and fall down before his footstool.
He is
Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and worship him upon his holy hill. Second reading is from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. And when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as through reflected in a mirror, and being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the ninth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and two men stood with him just as they were leaving him. Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, and while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified. As they entered the cloud, Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. The voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. In those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As some of you know, I spent a few days in San Diego last week with my niece and cousins and aunt. And on Friday morning, which was my last morning there, I went for an early morning walk, which I like to do. And probably 10 minutes into the walk, the sun just started coming up. And you know sunrise where it's just a little bit of pink or orange or, well, it started climbing higher and higher of just red and orange and yellow. And within about 10 minutes, it literally surrounded me and went over my head all bright red and orange. I tried taking a picture of it, never turns out right, but I was just surrounded by this glorious sunrise. And I had to stop and I thought, you know, if you didn't believe in the glory of the Lord, seeing that, it literally took my breath away. I just stood there and stood there. And then within 2 minutes, it's gone. The sun is up and it's gone. And it's like, wow, you have to like be there and see it and stop. Well, later that day, we got the chance to go to the desert. My cousin had said that it's unusual for the desert to be in bloom, but it's when it's a really wet winter, but not too wet, and warm, but not too warm, and, you know, everything has to be right. And then sometime in February, the desert blooms. Not every year, not very often. And he said, you've got to get out there. And it's like, well, I'm not sure how I'm going to get it. I don't have a car. Well, we found a friend, and my niece and the friend went out to the desert, covered in blossoms. The whole floor of the desert was covered in blossoms. The cactuses were covered in blossoms. Butterflies flying around that they had, I mean, it was just incredible. It was supposed to be near 70, it was 85, and it's like a little warm. But I thought again, being surrounded by the warmth and the beauty of all these butterflies and blossoms, just the wonder, and like you could see for miles and miles, like mountain range and mountain range and mountain range. Again, the glory of the Lord being surrounded by it, under my feet, over my head, and around me and within me. Just incredible. And I think of the many times that God comes to us in these ways and I don't notice them. Or we don't think about, wow, this is incredible. And that's what the season of Epiphany has been about. This is the last Sunday of Epiphany. And we started out with the wow of the angels filling the sky and singing to the shepherds that the Messiah had been born. And then we had the star in the sky and the wise men followed the star. And then Jesus' baptism, the many ways that Jesus was proclaimed to us and manifested to us throughout the season of Epiphany. And when Jesus came out of the water of baptism and we heard the voice, you are my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased. And over the last weeks of Epiphany, we've seen God manifest in many ways, and he called the disciples and started telling the disciples that we too should manifest the kingdom of God in our lives. And we talked about how the moon doesn't shine, but it's reflecting the sun, and how we too are called to reflect the brilliance of God's spark within each of us. Today's reading from the Old Testament tells us about that. The first time the people of Israel had seen, it's when Moses was coming down from the mountaintop with the two tablets of the covenant. And we hear various parts of the story about what the Israelites did or didn't do, but this time the two tablets of the covenant, which we know as the Ten Commandments, and what they were saying is what they noticed was not the tablets, what they noticed was Moses' face shining. And they said Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. His face shone so brilliantly, they were afraid to come near. And I think about that, the times when I really get that tiny glimpse of the presence of God, and I'm filled with that mixture of awe and fear and trembling and wow and everything else. And I think we're a little afraid to touch that, a little afraid to get closer to that. And so the people of Israel are like, you know, cover your face with a veil. We can't take it. But also, part of what captured my imagination in this story is they said when Moses would go in to talk with God, he would remove the veil. And then when he came back out and his face shone, he would cover it again. And I thought about that. The masks that we all wear, the persona that we put on, the, you know, we try to dress nice and look nice and talk nice so that people don't really know who we are. And we have our work persona and our family persona, the different masks we wear. And although we know that God knows every little bit of every part of our lives, I think I sometimes pray wearing that mask. God, I'm a good person. Please think I'm a good person. How often do we take that mask off in front of God and just bare our souls and say, this is what's going on in my life, and this is where I'm broken and where I need help? And what we're told is when we do that, then God smiles upon us and we too will shine with the glory. We will have been healed and forgiven, but not if we're wearing that veil, not if we're wearing that mask. And then how often do we then go out into the world and just proclaim it and let that glory shine that we have been forgiven and healed and renewed and sharing that story with our faces shining with the wonder and love of God's presence in our lives? And I think we all say, well, you know, you can't really do that when you're out in the street. But that's what we're invited to do. And the second letter to the Corinthians talks about that. Because we have known Jesus, because we have trusted, because we have been forgiven and healed and renewed, because we engage in the ministry, we now have this boldness about us. We can confidently claim this. And in the second letter to the Corinthians 3:18 today, it said, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as reflected in a mirror. We are being transformed into the same image, one degree from glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. It says that not only will we see God unveiled as if we were seeing God's glory in a mirror reflected on us, but then we too will be transformed from glory into glory and show that out in the world. I know, it's tough to do. And we're like, that's what you're paid for, Lynn, not us. We're all invited into this. We're all invited to see those moments of glory in our lives, in each other, in creation. So the story from the gospel today culminates the season of Lent, Epiphany, before we get into Lent. Today is the last Sunday of Epiphany. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, in case you didn't realize. Yes, it's here. We're singing all our alleluias and getting them out of our system because they're going to go away for the season of Lent. And this story that we hear in the gospel today sort of culminates all of Jesus that we've seen over Epiphany, the baptism, his ministry, his calling of the different disciples. And right before this story, he's told the disciples three times, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be persecuted, I'm going to be killed, and then I will rise. And it said this story takes place 8 days after Peter had said, you are the Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus asks Peter and James and John, go up on the mountain with me to pray. And they do. And as they're praying, all of a sudden, Jesus' face shines with brilliant light. And then his whole body shines with brilliant light. And then they see Moses and Elijah with him talking about the hardships he's about to face. And as they're just watching, Peter says, let's build three places we can stay right here forever. And I know that that mixture of being knowing that the hardships we're going to face, knowing that we're not alone, and also saying, can we stay right here? Because it's really great right here, right now. But like the sunrise, 2 minutes later, it disappears. And they said a dark cloud came over them, overshadowed them. And it's the same way that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary when she was about to receive Christ within her. And Peter, James, and John were overshadowed, and they heard the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." Different than the first time they heard God that, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." But this time, "This is my Son, the chosen, the Messiah. Listen to him." And if we think about all the things we have heard from Jesus, it invites us into that deeper relationship with him. When we listen and we follow him and we start to live out what we're called to do is when we too shine. And so I'm wondering, are you ready to lift the veil and step a little bit closer and linger a little bit longer with Jesus? Are you ready to let that light shine in your life and to reflect it to others? Today we have a baptism, little baby Bo, and looks like he's out cold right now. We'll see if he stays that way. But he's about to receive the light of Christ. He's about to receive the Holy Spirit. He's about to be welcomed into the household of God, to become one with us. And it's our job to shine that light upon him. You're going to say that, yes, we're going to support him in his Christian life. And part of that is you being able to show that light to him so that he too can reflect that light in the world. So I invite Bo and his family to come forward. And I'm thinking we're waiting for the Sunday school kids. Now, Sunday school kids, it would be a good time to come up. They're watching, maybe. I invite any other kids in the congregation to come forward as well. And we're all going to turn to page 301 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Come on up. Come on up. So all children can come right here in front of this pew so you can see. And we're all turning to page 301 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Oh, and we need to move the table up. Can you move the table up? Right. Perfect. Thank you. Is everybody scooted up and in where they can see? Perfect. The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented. Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? And now I'm going to ask a question to the entire congregation, and the proper response is a very hearty, "We will." Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support this person in his life and Christ?
We will.
Let us join with him who is committing himself to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Please stand. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Let us now pray for this person who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Deliver him, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open their hearts to your grace.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill him with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring her to the fullness of your peace and glory.
Lord, hear our prayer. Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son, Jesus, received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Oh, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by the water and the Holy Spirit you have bestowed upon this, your servant, the forgiveness of sin, and have raised him to new life and grace. Sustain him, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give him an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. Oh, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We say together, we receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified.
Proclaim his resurrection and share with us his eternal priesthood.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of
Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. Good morning, Gary. Busted. I know, a large crowd and a joyful event. So while I have your attention, I'd like to invite you all to come to coffee hour. It is a very festive coffee hour this morning to celebrate the baptism of Bo. Before we get to the other announcements, though, this is the first Sunday of the month, and so I'd like to invite you forward if you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary or something else where you would like to give Thanksgiving this morning for this month of March. Yes, it's March already. I invite you to come forward at this time. Stacia, Cooper, and Ethan's birthdays.
Patty's birthday.
Patty's birthday.
I can put weight on my foot.
Yay! Weight on her foot.
The baptism of Bo.
The baptism of Bo. Yay!
Julia's second birthday.
Julia's second birthday. Grandmother and godmother are celebrating. We'll get the baby here. Oh, yeah, she can't come. She's sick. So the prayer that we're going to say together is in your bulletin. It's halfway down. It's in italics, and it says a time of thanksgiving. And we will say this prayer together. Oh, God, our times are in your hands. Today,
we praise you.
Our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Wednesday starts with Ash Wednesday. We have a noonday service here. It's the community service. It's a 20-25 minute service with luncheon afterwards. You're all welcome to come. And in the newsletter that came out during the week, it has where the services are throughout the Lenten season. We will also have a 7 p.m. service here with imposition of ashes and Eucharist. So if you can't make the noonday, please do come to the 7 p.m. service. On Thursday, we start the Lenten series. It's Thursday at 7 p.m., and we will be looking at the last week, the Holy Week, the readings from Holy Week, and what happened then. Let me think. We have a lot of other stuff going on this week. Southeast District meeting is Monday night. There's a parish leadership meeting happening on Saturday. So, and youth group tonight. Thank you. Youth group tonight, and thank you to everybody who's made preparations for that, made food, and the helpers who are going to help. And please ask 7th through 12th graders to come that you might know, but also pray for the leaders and for the youth as we continue to help this community to grow in their faith. Are there other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Amen.
kids, can you come up here so and hold it way up high so everybody can see? Come on up. Come on up. Help hold it really high. Can you see what this is? It's an alleluia that the kids have decorated. And Tuesday night after we all feast, you know, really celebrate big, we're going to roll it up and we're going to put it in a trunk because it's going away for the season of Lent. So thank you, kids, for making this. We're going to put it right here in front of the altar for now. Perfect. Eucharistic Prayer B continues on page 367 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 367. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in Jesus Christ our Lord you have received us as your sons and daughters, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. by him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. All are welcome at this table. If you wish to receive the bread, simply hold out your hand. If you wish to partake of the wine, you can either dip your bread into the wine, or you can cross your hands and we will pass you by. If you don't wish to receive either the bread or the wine, you may receive a blessing by crossing your hands across your chest. But all are welcome at this table.
As the deer at the ford, the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Post-communion prayer can be found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with the spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you. didn't see my turn signal. He says I didn't have it on.